and welcome to Earth Matters. I'm your host, Lawson Hunter. Earth Matters strives to bring you solutions to environmental challenges and examines people just like you who are trying to preserve and protect a healthy planet. We've examined impact investing, the sharing economy, food security, urban design, and other topics. Today, we look at land trust and conservation agencies. Land set aside for conservation has a long history and goes back as far as 1872 with the establishment of Yellowstone National Park in America and the first conservation reserve in Cambridgeshire in the UK in 1919. Since that time, we've come to rely on governments to protect sensitive areas of nature and significant environments for other species. Today, that concept is under assault from all sides. It's now up to citizens to preserve the quality of their property, to donate land for conservation efforts, or to contribute to organizations that purchase land for future generations to enjoy. I spoke to representatives from two organizations that understand the importance of conservation, one a small local group and the other a much larger organization. Land trusts and conservation agencies abound all around us. We simply need to take an effort to see what they are accomplishing and lend a hand. Up first is Jen Baker, land trust manager for the Hamilton Naturalist Club, who explained what a land trust is.
So a land trust is an organization that works to permanently protect land. So it's a non-governmental organization that just wants to make sure that land is protected forever, just for the sake of protecting it.
Mm-hmm. Now, people are probably more familiar with the Nature Conservancy. Is this a similar type of program? I'm a bit surprised to see a small club like the Hamilton Naturalist to have this capacity. So are they the same, or are they different, or how do they compare?
It is the same, just at a different scale.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, it's the same as what Nature Conservancy does, just much, much smaller. And smaller land trusts might look after protecting smaller properties than Nature Conservancy. But it's otherwise, it's all the same thing. And the Naturalist Club was actually one of the first, if not the first, conservation organization to acquire land just for the sake of protecting it. And we got our Spooky Hollow Nature Sanctuary in 1961. And then we've been acquiring other properties ever since then.
Mm-hmm. And how many people roughly have donated since 1961?
Donated money or donated land?
Donated land.
Two. Okay. And then we've purchased the rest. And we have a conservation easement, too. So most of the properties we've purchased, and then we've had two donations of property.
So what helps you select a particular piece of property to conserve, to protect?
There are a number of things. So we have like a list of criteria, and generally it's how under threat is the property. You know, is it going to be protected even if we don't acquire it? Is it in an area that we have an interest in? So are our members already visiting the area? And, you know, is there reasons that people would want to go there? The ecological significance of the area. And a big factor also is, can we maintain it? You know, so can we, with volunteer power, actually manage the land and take care of the land? Because when we take on a property, we're taking it on forever. So we want to make sure that we can actually have the resources that we need to properly take care of it.
Right. So say I'm a landowner, I own a piece of property. Do I have to donate all of the property or just a part of it, or how much?
It's up to you. So you can donate all of it, but you can also donate a part of it. So if you own a piece of land and maybe you live on that land as well. So we had one property owner. You know, we severed the land around his house and barn and outbuildings and stuff like that. And then he donated the rest of the property to us. So there are different ways that you can do it to make sure that everybody's needs are fulfilled.
Mm-hmm. Now, donating some of your property if you've lived there for a long time, or obviously it's cost you money to buy that property, to donate it to a cause while being environmentally sustainable. That's a great offer. What else do the donors or contributors, what do they get out of it?
So if they're donating, so as you said, they get, I guess, just the feel-good feeling of making sure that the land that they love is protected forever. But they also get tax benefits. So, you know, there's no capital gains tax from the donation. So you get a tax receipt for the full appraised value of the land, and you can use that tax receipt over 10 years. So that's a pretty good benefit to landowners. You, there's also things you can work in, like if they live adjacent to the land or something, you can work out arrangements that maybe they, you know, they can still visit the land for sure. But if they've always taken wood for their fireplace from the land, you can work out those kind of arrangements as well. But I think the tax receipt is probably the biggest tangible benefit.
Is it possible to sell the land but below market value and receive a tax receipt for the balance?
Yes, you can. So that's a good option where you can get some cash as well as a tax receipt. So the only criteria that Revenue Canada places is that you need to, the tax break cannot be more, or the cash that's given cannot be more than 80% of the gift. So you have to donate at least 20% of the appraised value of the land. And then you can get a tax receipt and some cash, provided that the land trust has the financial means to be able to do that.
Right, because donating all of the land, 100%, that's quite an undertaking. What is a nature sanctuary? What do you mean by that?
So for the Naturalist Club, because I think every organization would name their properties differently. So for us, it means that it's a space that's protected for nature. So nature comes first, and then passive recreation opportunities come second. So, for example, we have trails on some of our properties in areas that aren't going to infringe on the ecological values or the important environmental values of the property. And, you know, we take kids out to our nature sanctuaries in areas because it's important for people to experience these wonderful spaces, but we do it in such a way that doesn't interfere with the natural values of the land. So for us, that's what the nature sanctuary means.
Right. And is there a criteria for the type of land or the amount of land, or does it have to have road access, accessible by road? What kind of criteria?
Actually, so it does not have to have road access. We do have two properties in the middle of the Beverly Swamp that are landlocked that we access by the generosity of a neighbor to get back close to the properties. Other criteria are, you know, it needs to be environmentally important on the landscape. So it needs to, you know, protect important species or habitats and just have unique values. We need, as I said before, we need to be able to take care of it. So if it's an area that has always had a lot of unauthorized uses, we might not be in the best position to properly take care of the land. So then we would see if maybe there's a way that we could partner with another organization. You know, so we've done that. We've partnered with Conservation Halton to acquire a property that was too big for us to take on our own, but together we could make sure that it's protected. So those are some of the things that we look at. Also, is it an area that we're working in? Yeah, we have properties in Turkey Point and Font Hill. We've decided that we want to stay closer to home. So we need to make sure, like, are these properties in areas that we've identified as important to us? And are they properties that you know, make sense for the club to have, or does it make more sense for a bigger agency or a different land trust? So to accomplish this, all of us make sure that we work together to see, you know, what's best for the land and who is in the best position to take on the property and acquire it.
Now, you mentioned Turkey Point. That's a fair distance from Hamilton. Are you restricted geographically to what area you can take care of?
These days, well, we aren't restricted, but we've chosen to stay in, like, you know, Hamilton, Burlington, general area. In Turkey Point, we acquired that property in 1961, and no one else, like, there weren't other land trusts at the time, so no one else was able to acquire it. It was an area that many of the Naturalist Club members had been visiting for many decades already. They would go to a camp nearby and just explore the natural wonders of Norfolk County. They heard that this property was for sale, and so they acquired it to make sure that it would stay protected.
So how can people that don't own land, how can they contribute?
So there are lots of ways that everybody can contribute. We're always looking for financial resources to acquire new properties or to take care of the properties that we already have. We're also always looking for volunteers. So we're a volunteer-led organization with, you know, limited capacity. So there's always lots of volunteer opportunities for people to come out and help us take care of the land as well.
And if they donate to help conserve land, do they get a tax receipt as well?
Yes. Okay. Or a charitable organization. So anything over $20 gets a tax receipt, and all of it added up makes a big difference.
Now, you mentioned that the volunteers have to maintain the property. What does that entail?
So it depends on the properties. At a very basic level, it just means, so for where we have trails, checking on hazard trees and taking care of trees that might fall on the trails or if they've already fallen. So just generally maintaining the trails, picking up garbage. We're fortunate that at our properties that isn't a huge challenge. We're really lucky that way. And checking the property boundaries to see if anything, you know, to make sure that nothing has happened on the properties. Other properties, we're doing more ecological restoration work. So we're restoring one property to more of an oak savanna habitat and another one to an open grassland as well in part of it and a forest in the other. So we'll do those kinds of projects as resources allow. And then a lot of monitoring. And I guess the biggest thing that's consistent across all of the properties is a lot of invasive species management. So to try to keep the invasive species somewhat under control at the properties.
Right. How many other agencies do something like this?
I think it's fair to say that like every major center has a land trust working in it.
Mm-hmm. Any considerations for urban land trusts?
There is an urban land trust in Hamilton, mm-hmm. And that's called the Hamilton Land Trust, and it is working. So in the urban area, it's working more to for social housing and just to meet some of the different social needs in our community. For the Naturalist Club in the urban environment, we're working on bringing nature back to the city. So not necessarily acquiring land, but we work like on private lands and public land to restore natural spaces and just generally bring nature back to the city.
Right. I'm speaking with Jen Baker, Land Trust Manager with the Hamilton Naturalist Club. Jen, thank you very much for talking to us on Earth Matters.
No problem. Thank you.
Next is Kristen Ferguson, Acting Director for the Ontario Chapter of the Nature Conservancy of Canada.
Kristen Ferguson, let's start off by explaining what the Nature Conservancy of Canada is.
The Nature Conservancy of Canada is Canada's leading land conservation organization. So essentially, we're a big land trust working to secure, acquire the most important pieces of natural habitat across Canada. So we've been at what we do since 1962, so over 55 years now, and the organization was started by just four plucky individuals back in the 60s who saw a gap and saw that there were private lands with amazing conservation values and not really an entity working to secure them. I think there were some other groups getting started at the time, and it was a bit of a movement. And since then, we've grown to over 250 staff from coast to coast to coast.
All right. And there are several different aspects to NCC. There are the land trusts, there are the natural areas conservation, forest conservation. So give me an idea what those three different elements do at your organization.
Okay, you've done some research. Yeah, well, the way I usually break it down is the Nature Conservancy of Canada has these few different pillars that really support the overall work we're doing. One is the one I mentioned, land acquisition or land securement. So that's actually acquiring the pieces of land that we end up protecting. And then the next being stewardship, taking care of those lands. Once they're in NCC's name, we work to care for them in perpetuity. And then we also have other pillars like outreach and engagement with different people. But when it comes to actually figuring out what pieces of land to go after, that's where the Natural Areas Conservation Program and our Natural Area Conservation Plans come in. These are really detailed landscape-level plans that help us focus in on the last great places to save, where the biodiversity values are high. So you'll have amazing rare vegetation communities and natural systems, perhaps rare species at risk. And it was through a complex geographic information system analysis done back in 2005 here in Ontario that really highlighted these hot spots on the landscape for NCC to be focusing our effort on. So we have 15 priority natural areas that we're currently throwing all our weight behind and doing all sorts of fundraising, finding the great parcels that we're interested in acquiring, making connections with those landowners, and also taking care of the land we already own in those areas and connecting with community members and neighbors to make sure we're really integrated into these amazing places that we work. And then in terms of specifically forests, which you mentioned, we have some great initiatives going on, such as boreal forest conservation. And otherwise, forests are really just woven into a lot of these natural areas. They tend to be some of the coolest features that we've got in these priority places that we work.
And do you do anything in the marine area?
Yes, we've definitely been moving our focus as of late to focus a bit more on aquatic conservation. So that one's it's outside of the way we've been used to working, which is acquiring parcels of land, so the terrestrial side of things. So I can't speak to too much beyond acquiring wetlands and river systems and working to protect and manage and restore those as best we can. But I know across the country there are some initiatives where we're really starting to take the water into account, recognizing the importance of the biodiversity in those near shore waters. It's extremely high, really important, especially up in the north, but not my particular area of focus.
Now, there are a number of smaller organizations. For one, the Hamilton Naturalists organization in Hamilton that has its own land trust capacity. What's your relationship with those different organizations across the country?
Great question. Working with local land trusts is so important to what NCC does. In a lot of cases, we're working really intricately with local groups also on the ground. So that could be local naturalist clubs or some of the more local land trust organizations who do the same thing NCC does, land acquisition and stewardship and outreach within communities, but they're just doing it at a more focused scale. So a great example is in the Cardinalvar Natural Area, which is up northeast of Lake Simcoe. This is a place NCC has been working hard since 1998. We're celebrating our 20th year of conservation in Cardin this year, and we couldn't have done it without the help of our partner, the Kuchiching Conservancy. So often we're in sort of a co-management relationship with Kuchiching, where they're able to deploy their local staff to lend a hand with big stewardship projects on the big tracts of land that NCC owns. And then the reverse is available. NCC can help Kuchiching if that help is needed on their properties out there. In addition, we're just in frequent communication, letting each other know about sort of the lay of the land and new and emerging issues, because they've really got those close community connections, whereas at NCC, we tend to be a bit more spread out. Natural areas in this particular subregion span out across a good 2 or 3 hours of driving. So it's really nice to have those local connections and the things we can do, like transferring lands to them if they're in a better position to manage them, tapping into their unique local connections. A lot of these local land trusts have huge support from community members, really big followings and memberships, and that's just wonderful. So we definitely see it as a cooperative relationship, and we're really glad to have and support those smaller land trusts however we can. Another way we connect with them is through the Ontario Land Trust Alliance group. So every year there's an annual gathering where all land trusts get together, a great chance for NCC to go there, maybe share some of our practices, also listen to the local groups, learn from their practices. And it's really just a great back and forth information sharing to make sure we're all doing things as best and as efficiently as we can and learning from one another and continuing to grow conservation successes together. So for every property we own, we have a property management plan, and it identifies things like trail maintenance, so cutting down those hazard trees where we know people are walking, invasive species removal, so removing something like garlic mustard from the forest floor, garbage cleanup if you have a property with a roadside where perhaps there's some issues with dumping, and the list goes on. And many hands absolutely make light work. So we may have anywhere from 5 to 25 volunteers come out to these conservation volunteers events, which are held throughout the spring, summer, and fall months. And you can find them on our website, conservationvolunteers.ca, for a list of what's available for the rest of the season. And we also have more informal volunteers, people who perhaps live near our properties, feel passionate about what NCC is doing and want to lend a hand. So those folks act as stewards on the ground for us. Or perhaps people are working on projects of more sort of office and computer-based nature. So we kind of have volunteers across the whole spectrum, but I would say our conservation volunteers program, getting people into the field, is incredibly successful and engages thousands of Canadians every year.
All right. Now walk me through the land acquisition process. Some of the land is donated, some of the land is purchased. So talk to me about both of those different aspects.
Yeah, so we sort of see it as a toolbox. So there's a few different ways you can go about acquiring land. At the very first and foremost, it's all about a willing buyer, that's us, and a willing seller, or a willing acceptor of land donation and a willing donor. So we just work with people who are excited about having their properties go into conservation forever. And so the first tool that we can use is what we call fee simple acquisition. And that just means that NCC fully takes the title of a property and then we become a property owner just like any other homeowner or property owner. So we're a private landowner and then we take title to the land and then we're able to control the activities that go on that land, ensuring there's no development, tree cutting, or we're taking good care of it, etc. The other option is land donation, where the title of the land is transferred to NCC. And in that case, the generous donor of the land receives a tax receipt for the full appraised fair market value of the land. So that's a nice tax benefit, particularly when the gift is made through the Ecological Gifts Program at the Government of Canada. That offers some really nice additional attractive tax incentives for those people who are conservation-minded and generous and have nice pieces of land in our priority natural areas or otherwise, that would make a nice addition to NCC's portfolio of land. And then there is a third tool, which is the placing of conservation easements. So that's when a landowner will retain title to their property. They'll continue to be the owner, but they'll enter into an agreement with NCC that actually is applied to the title of their property. So it's registered and there for anyone to see that they won't do certain things. And they're all the sort of things I mentioned. So not, subdividing and putting buildings on a property, no dumping, no clear cutting of the forests, no planting of invasive species, that type of thing. And there's a pretty detailed list of restrictions, and then we monitor it and make sure all the restrictions are being followed. And then it's essentially the same as having a conservation organization own the land, because the same principles are being applied.
When you say that once the land is acquired, the staff and volunteers manage the area, that's quite an undertaking. Is that like forever and ever? What happens generations from now?
Yeah, that's right. It is in perpetuity. And we've only been at it for 55 years, but we imagine that we will be at it forever. So what happens is that we're taking very good stock of what's out there now. So we're recording the baseline condition of these properties when we acquired them. And we're populating our really detailed land management database. And that way, the staff that come in after me and after the me's who came after me will be able to just look at these references, understand how the property was when NCC acquired it, the values for which we acquired it, and then just keep working to maintain those. And it's definitely a big job. So we spend a lot of our time prioritizing. Where are the highest threats? Where do we need to spend the most of our time? Because we only have so many staff, and though we acquire thousands of acres a year, we can't acquire thousands of staff a year. So we're doing our best. And it's really where it's in those situations where we can't necessarily get to everything that our volunteers and our volunteer stewards become such an integral part of what we do, because we really couldn't do it without their help, especially as we continue to grow and really accelerate the rate at which we're acquiring land to help us get towards Canada's target of 17% of our country in protected area.
And finally, how can our listeners find out more about NCC?
So the Nature Conservancy of Canada's website, natureconservancy.ca, is the place to go for all your information. And I really encourage people to check out how to get involved through our Conservation Volunteers Program, or if they wanted to try their hand at charitable giving, it's an easy way to set that up online. You can give $10 a month or whatever you're capable of. For younger folks, we have a conservation intern program, which accepts applications usually in the winter each year. And then we bring those students or younger members of the workforce in for the summer months. I think, getting out to volunteer events is definitely the best way to get a really good sense of what we do. And if you just wanted to explore an NCC nature reserve on your own, I'd encourage people to check out our Nature Destinations program. So this is a few properties across the country that have been selected, and more will be chosen as we go along, that have trails and other infrastructure that can support visitation without possibly damaging the rare and sensitive features of the property. So they've got trails that take you to beautiful places, but not right through that patch of something really super rare. So people can get a sense of what we do and these places we protect and just how important they are. So I'd really encourage people to have a look at our nature destinations as well and come visit this summer and tell us what you think. And we're also obviously on all the social media platforms, Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. You can follow us there and stay tuned on what NCC is up to.
Kristen Ferguson, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure chatting with you.
All right.